All right, great to have you back with us on this beautiful weekend. Keith Law joins us. Keith, of course, from The Athletic. As I say, he is the national expert on the draft and things connected to it. Keith, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. You're on with me and Bill Lasky, of course, and July 11th is not too far away, and I've seen some of the things you've written. I've watched some of the things on TV. Keith, there are a number of shortstops and really quality players at the top of this draft, more so than the pitching, I think. And how do you see the first four or five, six of these selections going?
I think you said it exactly right, that there's this has turned out to be a better draft for high school players, for high school hitters, than for pitchers than we expected. At the start of the year, all the talk was about the college pitching, and that college pitching hasn't really held up. And I think the first couple of picks, you're going to hear names like Marcelo Mayer, Jordan Lawler, and Khalil Watson, all three of whom are high school shortstops in California, Texas, North Carolina, respectively. They're all going to go in the...
Whoop, we lost Keith there a little bit. Keith, you there? Yeah, right. Raph is going to call him back. I think the shortstops heard their names, Bill Lasky. But it's interesting what he says, and this is what I've seen on TV, and we'll get Keith back with us, but the top four or five picks, these shortstops all look like Carlos Correa.
You know, I was looking at that this morning also, and, you know, you're talking about shortstops in high school. Marcelo Mayer is a shortstop out of Eastlake High School in Southern California. He's one of the top picks as a shortstop. And I want to talk about these two guys out of Vanderbilt, of course, Rocker and Leader. Both those guys are their top right-handed pitchers, and they've just been dominant the whole time, especially Jack Leiter. He was dominant in the World Series. I watched a lot of those games with Mississippi State as well as Vanderbilt. And, boy, they got to some young arms, Marty, with some flash to them. And, I mean, those are the kind of arms that people like. They want to see velocity, and they want to see if they can control what they have in top moments like the World Series.
Keith Law is back. Keith, we lost you there for a second. As I said, some of the shortstops probably were offended you didn't include them in what you had to say.
But, yeah, I don't know where you lost me. I was still talking, apparently. Nobody heard me.
It happens. That's why we have live radio. But going back to the very first question, that is, Bill just mentioned a couple of the shortstops. Now, teams at the top, are they rebuilding teams? Are they going to go for high school players? Or, like Bill said, do you want a Jack Leiter or a Kumar Rocker?
Mm-hmm. I think that Marcelo Mayer, the high school shortstop from Southern California, he's the most likely player to go first overall. That's Pittsburgh. These are a lot of rebuilding teams up top. Pittsburgh picks first. Texas, who's had a horrible season in the major leagues, they pick second. Detroit, who's pretty far along in their rebuild, where they've got some good young pitching in the big leagues now. Casey Mize, Tariq Skubal. They've got a number of good hitting prospects in Double A. They're further along in the rebuild. That's the club up top that wouldn't surprise me if they went for a college player, just thinking that, not that they don't like these high school shortstops, but thinking that those guys might take a lot longer to get there. Whereas if you take a good college player, if you take Jack Leiter, which is the one college name I've heard them linked to a few times, he's in the majors probably in a year and a half. Whereas as good as Marcelo Mayer is, it could be 4 years before he's in the big leagues, or maybe before he's good enough to be having an impact in the big leagues. And if you're Detroit by that point, you're already hoping to be getting to the playoffs. So maybe you'd rather, even if you give up a little bit of ceiling, rather take a college player who you know impacts your club a good bit sooner.
Hey, Keith, when you talk pitching, I watched a World Series. Of course, Rocker mm-hmm. and Leader were amongst the men compared to a lot of the other pitchers. But are those two guys your top pitchers? Because there's a lot of pitchers when you start looking at Mississippi State. They had a couple real good arms on their team. Are these the two guys that really everybody's looking at when you start looking at the top line starting pitching?
I think they're the first two college pitchers to be taken. I feel better about Leiter going somewhere up top than Rocker. There are some teams that are just concerned about Rocker. You saw in the winner take all last game of the season.
Yeah.
Rocker showed the stuff was there, but the feel, command, poise, they weren't what you want them to be. And I think that's had teams a little bit scared just because of where we're talking about, the very top of the draft. If he gets to the Mets at 10 or the Nationals at 11, they're going to take Rocker and they're going to laugh all the way home. So it's not that he's not a prospect, but teams are looking for very fine distinctions between players. And the fact that Leiter did pitch well in some very difficult situations, high-stakes situations towards the end. And Rocker pitched not badly necessarily, but less well, less consistently. That could push him down. There really isn't another college pitcher right behind those guys. And Will Bednar is probably the one you're talking about, pitched the last game for Mississippi State, maybe the best slider in the draft class. He's a first-rounder. I don't think he gets up into the top 10 like the other guys.
Boy, Keith Law with us. You can read him in The Athletic, and he's going to have a lot to say this week and, of course, next weekend with the draft coming up. Keith, last year Torkelson, who was from ASU and one of Kerry Crowley, one of our compatriots' favorites, went at the top as a hitter. What about hitters and some of the teams that are at the top of the draft looking for hitting? Where do you see some of the top hitters going?
So this is the weakness of the draft. The college hitters are just not there. And the guys who are likely to go high among college position players are going to go high more because they are good hitters for their position, as opposed to a Torkelson who was, you know, maybe a first baseman in the long run, but he mashes. And he is mashing right now in Double-A for Detroit. I think Henry Davis, the Louisville catcher, he's the best college position player in this draft. He can really throw. I think he's good enough behind the plate and going to get a lot better. He's got great plate discipline and has shown quite a bit more power this year than anyone anticipated. You may also hear the name Matt McLean. He was a first-rounder 3 years ago out of high school to Arizona, to the Diamondbacks, but decided not to sign. He chose to go to UCLA. And honestly, for 2 years, it looked like he'd made a bad choice. But he really had a breakout season as a junior for the Bruins. He played better defense than ever at shortstop. He was hitting for more average. He was making more hard contact and did it against good competition. I think that's probably going to push him somewhere into the top 10, 11, 12 picks. And that will make him the second college position player off the board. In a typical draft, this isn't what it sounds like, though. It's lots of college guys in the top 10. Teams love the safety of the college players because we've seen them for 3 or 4 years. And we have lots of statistics and lots of advanced data on them. Those guys just aren't there this year. The players exist, but they're not good enough to go in the top 10.
And you talk about that catcher from Louisville, and catching really was the number one position everybody wanted last year, you know, and a year's back. Now there's a handful of good catchers, and of course, you know, that's what everybody looks at behind the plate. Outfield position's another one. There's an abundance of guys, but nobody really is jumping out at the board. What do you see in the outfield position, and is there another top catcher?
There are a couple of high school catchers this year, and if you talk to people in the industry, I'm sure you guys have heard this. High school catchers are considered the riskiest type of player to take, and the track record of high school catchers taken in the first round in the draft is not very good. There's not a ton of them, but the track record is what it is. It's poor. But Harry Ford down in the Atlanta area and Joe Mack up in Buffalo, both high school catchers. Ford maybe moves to another position because he's so athletic and he's fast and teams want to get him out from behind the plate. Mack, more of a sort of, you're hoping for a Joe Mauer type where it's big power and he's a big, strong kid with a good eye and actually quite good behind the plate. But they're high school catchers, so teams are a little scared of those guys and probably they end up going somewhere in the back half of the first round. Outfield is just weak at pretty much all levels, I would say. The high school and college crops were kind of weak, and that is helping certain guys. Jay Allen is a high school outfielder from the Tampa area in Florida. He's a good athlete. He's shown some feel to hit. He's not of the level of some of the other high school outfielders we typically see go in the first round, where they're five-tool guys and they're stars in football or they're stars in basketball and also happen to play baseball. Jay Allen's good. He is not up to the level of what we would typically think of as the best high school outfielders in the country.
Well, let's talk Giants a little bit here. They can't take another catcher, right, Keith? We agree on that.
I think it would be very surprising if they,
no more.
If they take Harry Ford, the one I just mentioned, they could take him and say he's not a catcher. We're just putting him right at third base or right in center field or something.
All right. But no traditional catcher. We've seen enough. That's enough for 2 years of that. But let's talk about the Giants. And let's look at it conservatively, who should be there when they go, and then who could fall to them, and what you think could happen with the Giants.
So I think handicapping the Giants is a little tricky because they don't have a type necessarily. They're not only going to – I've talked to plenty of the guys over there. They're not only looking at – say college players. They're not focusing on pitchers in the first round. They just want to take the best player. I've heard them linked quite a bit to Sal Frelick, an outfielder from Boston College, who who looked like he was going to go in the top 10 because he started out the year really strong. When they got into conference play in the ACC, his power went away. He still had a really good year. He makes a lot of contact. He rarely strikes out. He walks a good bit, and he can really play center field. And I know the Giants for forever have always said they want to get, when they draft an outfielder, they really like him to be able to show some range, to have good defense, because even if he doesn't end up in center, they think of right field at their home park as kind of like a second center field. By the time you get down to that spot in the draft, I believe they pick 14, you could start talking about some of the other college pitchers then, somebody like Will Bednar, who we were just talking about, somebody like Sam Bachman from Miami of Ohio, who's been up to 102 with a slider at 90-92, but he missed two starts earlier this year with a little sore shoulder, and some teams are just going to say, nope, we're just not interested. He could go somewhere in this range of the draft. He could not go in the first round at all. And there, I know of a couple of guys like that where the stuff, the talent would put them clearly in the first round, but teams are backing away a little bit just because the guy missed a start or there's some other past injury that has them concerned. I see them as opportunities, because if you take a risk on a guy like that, if you can get comfortable with his medicals, you've got a chance for a number one starter or an absolutely elite closer.
Hey, Keith, I talked to a couple of scouts this week, and it seems like they're coveting the Cape Cod League. Of course, that's a wooden bat league. But there's also some other showcases going around. Is that open to all scouts, the showcases? And are those primarily young players, maybe high school, or are there college players also?
So there's a lot going on right now because the draft is later, right? Typically, the draft would have happened several weeks ago. And so that would mark kind of the end of the spring. And then after that, anybody, especially undrafted players, the ineligible players, would go and do their summer things. So like the Cape Cod League, Team USA. This year, it's all different. So there are players on Cape Cod who will get drafted next week. There, Major League Baseball held a combine, first time ever, and they invited a lot of players. Not everybody came. A lot of the elite players decided they didn't need to go. But some showed up, and they put some of it on television or some of it online, and scouts went to see those players. Even if it was just, you know, what I was told was seeing the players take BP or run the 60 wasn't that valuable, but getting to sit down and talk to the players was. And that's maybe the one thing that I think hopefully MLB, if they listen to their scouts, they'll take forward is, oh, hey, scouts really value the opportunity to sit down and get one-on-one with some of these players. There are also going to be private workouts. You will hear that this team so-and-so had Joey Bag of Donuts in to take BP at the Major League Stadium, and they worked him out. Teams do that with a lot of players. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to take that guy, but they will often try to invite everybody they're considering maybe for a first-round pick or even a second pick or a sandwich pick just to get one last look at them. And again, to get a chance to maybe sit down and talk to a player one-on-one.
Futures game is coming up also next week. I know you've done work on the futures game. A lot of players, big name minor league players in the futures game, including a couple for the Giants. Marco Luciano, to me, who I still say is going to be a superstar, and Elliot Ramos, who's a highly regarded outfielder. So let's hear a little bit about the futures game.
Yeah, I was very happy with the Giants selections. I think the rosters are pretty good overall. I'm always going to disagree a little bit. They don't let me pick the rosters. When they do, then obviously I'll probably have less to say about them. But I think in the Giants' case, they got the best two guys. You could have maybe made an argument for Seth Corey, but he's been kind of wild this year. He's walked far too many guys. And I know one thing with the futures game, you try to avoid pitchers who are showing that, because one thing we want, you're going to come in for one inning, we want you to throw strikes. But there are a lot of elite prospects there. Torkelson, we mentioned, is going to be there. Austin Martin, who I thought was the best player in last year's draft, he's going to be there. Adley Rutschman was the first pick in the draft 2 years ago in 2019, catcher in the Orioles system. He'll be there, as well as Bobby Witt Jr., shortstop in the Royals system. He was the second pick 2 years ago. He's really come on in Double A as a guy who's basically straight out of high school. He only played a little bit the summer after he signed, didn't play last year. So for him to be doing what he's doing in Double A right now is extremely impressive. I think we've got a pretty good cross-section of the best prospects who are still in the minor leagues and were healthy or otherwise eligible to participate. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm flying into Denver that morning and can't wait to see the game.
Hey, Keith, with the minor leagues being off last year, have you noticed more teams keeping a lot of their prospects a little lower than trying to push them up the ranks any more faster than normal?
I think actually the opposite. I've been surprised how aggressive a lot of teams have been. And I thought they would do what you said, that a lot of teams would try to slow things down. And especially with position players, with pitchers, you can sort of run them up the ladder. If the stuff is good enough and they're throwing strikes, you can keep pushing them up. But you always worry about hitters being unable to make adjustments. And I would say, having looked at candidates for the Futures game and looked around at how some top prospects, or some guys I thought maybe were breakout candidates in the minors, how they were doing, I see a lot of guys who were pushed aggressively and are struggling. Now I see a lot who are responding too. Like Bobby Witt's a good example of that. Riley Green, who's in the game, he's Tigers outfield prospect, already in Double A, 2 years out of high school. So plenty of these guys are responding, but there are a lot of players who are struggling with aggressive assignments. And I'm trying to take the attitude of, they missed the whole year. That's a lot of at-bats to not have. That's a lot of time away from facing competitive pitching. Let's cut them some slack, and maybe by the second half, some of these guys start to turn it around.
What do you think of the Giants farm system? You look at the top 15, and you go through the names, and you read the stats. It looks like every guy is going to be a major league star.
I would probably bet against that. But I do think their system's in good shape. I think they've drafted well. I think that big international class from a couple of years ago looks really good. The early returns are good. A lot of those hitters I'd like to see maybe a little more plate discipline. But that may come in time also. There's a lot of talent in the system right now. And I think the hard thing for this front office, and they faced this a little bit last couple of years, is they, as they're possibly in contention, even if they're still just on the fringes of contention, do you trade prospects now to help the big league club when you know you're really still at the beginning or towards the beginning of a building process? And I would rather see them stand pat, but I could certainly understand if fans or ownership think differently.
Yeah, Keith, that was a big question that I thought of, is are teams going to throw prospects out there in some of these trades, or are they just going to pull back and hold on their own cards and see if everything prevails and watch the waiver wire? Do you think teams are going to be that aggressive in trying to get superstars off some of these teams that are lower in the divisions with a possibility of throwing prospects in it, Dre?
I have looked, and I know some of my colleagues at The Athletic have done the same, talking about who do the bad teams potentially have to sell? There aren't a lot of superstars out there. There might not be any superstars who change teams this year, because the best players who might be free agents after this season or even after next season, if they haven't already been signed to extensions, they're on contenders already. So I think we will see trades. I think we will see a lot of smaller trades, trades for back-end starters or for bench pieces, which would mean in turn we're probably not going to see a lot of real prospects, top prospects, change teams this July. That could be different this winter, but I just don't see it happening, given who's towards the bottom of the standings and likely to sell.
Well, we're going to hold you to Boston College for the Giants. I'll put that down. I'll put that down as your pick, and it makes a lot of sense. It's the kind of player the Giants love right now, and they've got a couple of them on the major league team like that. But my big question for you is: a year from today, where is Joey Bart?
Oh, wow. I think a year from today, he's on the Giants. He's on the major league roster. But we're engaged in a debate over what happens when Patrick Bailey shows up.
Good. Okay. Bill, a last one for Keith quickly.
I think, where's Leiter going to go? You think Leiter's going to go in the top five?
I had him in my last mock going three to the Tigers. I don't think he goes one. I really don't think he goes one, and I don't think he goes two. He could go three to the Tigers. He could go four to the Red Sox. And then there are scattered teams afterwards that would definitely be interested, but have been assuming all spring he would be gone. So it would be a little bit of a surprise if he fell even as far as five or six.
Well, Bill is a Tiger fan at heart. We know that. He grew up there. So I know what he's hoping, Keith, I'll tell you that. We'll see. Hey, thanks for taking the time, as always. As I said, you are the man. And we'll catch up with you after the draft. And have a good week and enjoy Denver next weekend.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right. That is Keith Law of The Athletic. Bill, it sounds like the Tigers may get Jack Leiter.
You know, I tell you, Marty, I was watching him, and just some of the mannerisms he is. He's so far away from college. You could see he's a big league pitcher. Of course, his dad, Al, is a great reference to try to
educate. I think Mark is his dad.
Is it Mark or no? I thought it was
yeah.
Al.
Yeah, Al's his uncle. Mark.
Oh,
is his
uncle. Oh, okay. Well, either yeah. way, nice pedigree right there.
Really.
But just watching his mannerisms on a game, he doesn't get. There's no nervousness. It's ice cold in his veins, and I think he could jump up real quick in any organization because he's got that electric stuff. But you start looking at, you know, I was looking at all the shortstops. There is a handful of high school shortstops, just like Keith was saying. But are you going to take a chance on a high school shortstop in the first or second round? And you may not even get him to sign. That's the questions when you start looking at young players like that.
What do you think the Giants will do after listening to Keith here?
I think they're going to go pitching. I really do. There's some good electric pitchers, and it all depends on who comes off the board first. And there's a couple good lefties out of a bullpen, too, that could possibly help watching. I just looked at the first 100 that they projected, and as you get past 20, 30, you start seeing a lot of left-handers and bullpen arms. And I think that's a possibility, especially when you got guys that flash 95 to 98 on an average. That's pretty good coming out of college because you know you're going to kick a couple more clicks on that once he gets graduated and once he learns a little bit more about pitching.
All right. Well, this is going to be interesting, huh?
Next
Sunday. I'm glad we had Keith on. All right. More coming up. Bill and I will chat a little bit. And then, Bill, you got Bob Brenly coming up next.
Yeah, big Bob Brenly, my good friend and teammate. And we talk a little bit about the Arizona Diamondbacks, their struggles, and a lot of other things that's happened through Bob, through sports broadcasting, manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks when they won their first World Series, and some great points that he and I ran through when we were playing with the Giants back in the 80s.
All right, and then it is Sammy Long, a lefty, and Arizona struggles with lefties, and Jake Faria. He better not walk a bunch of people because that's going to play right into the Giants' hands, and he gives up a couple of home runs, so we'll see what Jake Faria's got, 27-year-old right-hander for the Diamondbacks. All right, Bill and I will be back. Let's see. Greg Papa says the dad is Al Leiter, and then I apologize. I think you were right.
Well, Greg knows.
Well, that I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
No, you know why I say that? Because they did a little special on Al and his son during the World Series, and I remembered watching it, and they were talking about mindset and how you prepare for games, and that's why I saw Al, and I, you know, of course, Al's on MLB Network, so
maybe
Mark's
cheering.
His uncle.
Yeah, cheering and jumping up and down, and Pop, you got me on this one, so now it's 10-1, I'm ahead of you, but that's okay.
That's all right.
Thanks, Pop. All right, more coming up with Bill and I right after this.